Hello and a very warm welcome to Central Stage. Good to have you with us. We will not allow the terrorists to play with the security and the stability of Iraq and the region, and they will not be able to stop Iraq's economic and infrastructure development. Now, that's what the Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki said yesterday in a meeting with Iran's Deputy Foreign Minister in Baghdad following the attack that killed a group of Iranian workers and engineers in Iraq last week. And that's actually the second attack against Iranians in just 1 month after the Beirut incident. It seems a new wave of attacks has been unleashed on Iran and its establishments in the Middle East. Hello again and welcome back. Now today we're delighted to be joined by two top guests, and we want to talk about the recent wave of attacks against Iranians and Iranian establishment in the Middle East. Now here in this studio, I'm delighted to be joined by an established and professional researcher and political analyst, Dr. Rahmat Haji Mina. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's great to have you. Now, Dr. Rahmat Haji Mina is a professor of international relations and politics. He's also a top researcher with the Middle East Center affiliated to the Iranian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, and also an established journalist and writer working with Tehran Times. Now, in about 15 minutes over the phone from London, we hope we can have also an eminent human rights campaigner, Mr. Masoud Shajare, who is also the chair of the Islamic Human Rights Commission in London, which is an independent, not-for-profit campaign research and advocacy organization, as I said, based in London, UK. Time for a short break.
A new wave of attack has been unleashed on Iran and its establishments in the Middle East. On November 19th, two explosions outside Iran's diplomatic offices in the southern neighborhood of Jannah in Beirut killed 25 people, including six Iranians. In addition, more than 150 were injured. Iran's cultural attaché to Beirut, Hojatul Islam Ibrahim Ansari, and the wife of another Iranian diplomat were among the victims. An Al-Qaeda linked group, Abdullah Azam Brigades, claimed responsibility for the twin bombings. In a more recent deadly development on Friday, December 13th, masked gunmen shot dead 25 people, including 20 Iranians, working on a pipeline near the village of Baladruz, some 80 kilometers northeast of Baghdad. In a statement issued late on Friday, the Iranian Foreign Ministry expressed condolences over the tragic incident and offered sympathy with the families of the victims. It also said that an investigation has been launched to determine the full circumstances of the terrorist act. The victims, mostly Iranian engineers and workers, were working on a pipeline projected to carry natural gas from Iran to its western neighbor when they came under attack. In the meantime, Iran's envoy to Baghdad has called for the identification and apprehension of the terrorists who were behind the attack. Hassan Donaifar said on Saturday, Iranian officials have been pursuing the issue since the attack occurred, adding Iran's diplomatic mission is awaiting the findings of an investigation by Iraqi officials. Donaifar, who was visiting the site of the attack alongside a group of top Iraqi military commanders, expressed hope that bringing to justice those responsible for the attack would prevent such incidents from happening again in the future. The Iranian diplomat also urged Iraqi military officials to provide special security for the Iranians working on the pipeline in Iraq. Irrespective of who actually is behind such deadly attacks, it's highly probable that such cruel attempts are very much interrelated and interconnected.
Hello again, it's great to have you with us. Now, on November 19th, two explosions outside Iran's diplomatic offices in the southern neighborhood of Jannah in Beirut killed 25 people, including six Iranians. Now, we know that Iran's cultural attaché to Beirut, Hujjatul Islam Ibrahim Ansari, and the wife of another Iranian diplomat were among the victims. Now, an Al-Qaeda-linked group, Abdullah Azam Brigades, claimed responsibility for the twin bombings. However, Iran's ambassador to Lebanon, Ghazanfar Ruknabadi, has pointed a finger of blame at Israel for the twin explosions. Of course, Israel has denied role in the blasts. Dr. Hajimina, who's really behind that attack, do you think? Because we have actually various comments being made on that.
Yeah, actually, this incident raised some questions about who is behind this, I think, incident. And as you mentioned, an Al-Qaeda linked group, Azam, really Abdullah Azam Brigades, claimed the responsibility for this incident and this twin blast against Iranian embassy. So it's a clear, I think, confession of a real involvement in such terrorist attack against Iran. But another point is that the method of carry out of such incident is very clear and evident enough to show who is behind this attack, because this such action really carried out by extremist group and Takfir group. But the another point is that who benefit from this action, from this really terrorist attack on Iran. It's very important to analyze who benefit from such an attack. At this point, we can really find a relation and a link between the enemies of Iran as a great power in the region, for example, as we mentioned, the Israel, because Israel benefit from such an action that really try to challenge the Iranian power. And at this really point, we should know that some secret agency try to penetrate inside of sub extremist or of such really radical group to utilize their behavior for themselves. And the other point regarding this act is to really to wait for a real identification that is on the way by Lebanese, I think, Lebanese Army Intelligence Service to identify what happened really and what is the real group or team behind this action. But last point is that such action really like a twin blast against Iranian embassy, as you mentioned, is carried out by some Al-Qaeda linked group. But the other and the most important part of such action is that there are some regional actor like Israel that try to utilize and really benefit from this attack, because there is an really saying in politics that the enemy of my enemy is my friend, and it's really they try to penetrate in such really extremist group. Because when we look at the past of the proposals of such extremist or Takfir group, they try to really attack against foreigners, especially Western, and who are really invader of Islamic country. But at this time, we see the different, I think, view from the past, because they really choose the another target, and this target is Iran. So which one really, who is behind this attack? I think that not directly, but indirectly can be related to some really regional regional, yeah, actors.
You mentioned,
for example, yeah, for example, Israel. Yeah,
you mentioned basically that about something about the timing and the importance of timing here.
Yeah,
we know that at the same time, actually, the Syrian government forces were actually making some gains in a city which was bordering Lebanon, and there are some analysts who believe that. I mean, the attack at a time when the Syrian government forces were making some gains is somehow related to the Syrian cases, and it's actually a Syrian spillover. So how do you see the relationship between this incident, this deadly attack, and the, you know, the Syrian crisis?
Yeah, it's very important to really analyze any incident inside and context. As you said, at this sensitive juncture, which is going on in the region, is the really Syrian crisis and really the Syrian situation that divided the really forces in the Middle East into two really groups, Syrian government and its really supporter, for example, as Iran or and their opposition or rebel that try to attack not Syria but against the ally of Syria outside of Syria, and they try to spill over the crisis and unrest inside of Syria to the neighborhoods, especially for example into Iraq and into Lebanon, and in Lebanon maybe it's related to the situation inside of Syria, because there some times ago we witnessed some really struggle between two group in Tripoli that some supporter of Assad government and some other that really against Assad government, and it's really at this situation we cannot ignore the Syrian crisis and its impact on the situation which is really going on throughout the region in the Middle East.
Sorry, saying that actually another war is being fought actually outside the Syrian borders.
Yeah.
So this is not the Syrian war inside, but also another war outside Syrian borders
because,
happening.
Yeah, the group, especially the rebels, and which try to link with Al-Qaeda groups. They try to work and to be active, not just inside of one country. They try to really have their influence throughout the region. And at this juncture, I think, as I mentioned before, there is a division between resistance, resistance axis, and the other one is that the country or Salafis or Takfiris try to really utilize this situation and spill over and show the insecurity throughout the region.
Excellent. Yeah? Thank you very much indeed. Thanks. We'll take a short break, but after the break, I've been told that we can actually have also Mr. Masoud Shajara, the chair of the Islamic Human Rights Commission in London, over the phone with us. So please just stay with us. Hello again, it's great to have you back with us. Now, before further ado, I'd like to welcome Mr. Masoud Shajara, the chair of the Islamic Human Rights Commission in London, to Central Stage. It's a pleasure to have you with us, Masoud.
The pleasure is mine, thank you.
And thanks very much indeed for joining us. We know that actually your schedule for today was very, for this evening was very tight. Now, we just before you joined us, Dr. Haji Mina and I talked about the twin blasts in front of the Iranian embassy. And we'd now like to talk about the most recent development on Friday, December 13th, in a deadly incident. As you know, mass gunmen shot dead 25 people, including 20 Iranian engineers, and workers who were working on a pipeline some 80 kilometers northeast of Baghdad. So, Masoud, this second attack on Iranians in less than a month makes us think a new wave of attacks against Iranian and Iranian establishments is being unleashed.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's been for a very long time that we have seen that the development of this concept of sort of sectarianism being ruled by United States, Israel, and legitimized religiously by the Saudi Arabia. And this has, you know, has been very clearly not just an issue of sectarianism, but it's also politically motivated to target and attack Iran and try to delegitimize sort of Iran from its movement towards establishing a better and a just society and standing against the oppressors, in particular sort of the aggressions of United States and indeed their hegemony and their sort of satellite agents in form of the Israeli state. And, you know, this has been something which has been organized, coordinated, and now being implemented. And so, therefore, you know, so what we see happening under the banner of sectarianism, it really is something, it's actually a movement against the Iran, a political movement against Iran, hidden under the sort of cover of sectarianism. And we see it unleash, you know, even sort of in places like Baluchistan and so forth.
Right. So, but what can you tell us about the timing of these attacks? Why at this point in time?
Well, I think there has been a coordinated effort recently. Mm. We saw the sort of unleashing of these Takfiris in Syria. And indeed, the escalation of their activities in Iraq, which has reached now a sort of very high point that at least some in the region of 1,000 people are becoming victims of it. And this now is being sort of directed back into sort of towards of the real target, which is Iran. And both in Lebanon and in Iraq, we are seeing that sort of Takfiri sort of elements are now identifying and bringing the real intention into play, which is sort of an opposition to the Iranian position in the region.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. Now, we know that the pipeline on which the Iranian technical experts were working is planned to connect Iraq's gas network to energy reserves in the western Iranian city of Nafshar, which seems to be a quite important energy project for Iraq. Now, some analysts say that the target of this attack, Dr. Hajimine, is also the Iraqi government, because they want to show that the Iraqi government is not efficient enough to carry out these important development projects. So what's your take on that?
Yeah, one of the target is the Iraqi government, but not the only target of this attack, because this attack is carried out directly against Iranian innocent worker inside of Iraq. So the message of this, I think, attack can be really translated into two or three, I think, points. The one point is that they try to really show the insecurity of Iraq for investment at this really juncture, because they wanted to say that Iraq is not a safe land for investment. And the other point is that they try, who are behind this attack, tried really to impact in negatively on their relation, bilateral relation between Iran and Iraq, which is very positive at this really situation, because they try to boost their economic and their other, I think, relation. And the other one is that the timing of attack is very important, because at this sensitive juncture, there are two main developments inside of the Middle East. The first one is that reaching for a time for Geneva II, for really finding a solution, especially political settlement for a Syrian crisis. And the other one, I think, is that the progress in Iranian nuclear program and really initial agreement between Iran and the 5+1 group and this attack, I think at this time try to have a negative impact on this development and really stop the progress in these two important development. And because of this we should really have a multilateral or multi-dimension look at this attack, because one side of this attack is to show the, I think, the government of Iraq that is non-efficient for really make progress or doing some or carry out some development in energy. And the other part, I think, is related to the Iran.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Now, Mr. Shajar, irrespective of who actually is behind such deadly attacks, because we saw that for the actually twin suicide bombings in Lebanon, Ghazan Farrokhan body, the Iranian ambassador to Lebanon, pointed a finger at Israel, and then we had the Al-Qaeda claiming responsibility. But irrespective of who actually is behind such deadly attacks, how do you see the possibility of these two attacks being interrelated and interconnected, of being coordinated attacks?
It definitely is. I mean, the reality is that there are elements in the Middle East who are very worried of the Iranian influence in the region. And as my friend, the other contributor, was highlighting the issue of what happened in Geneva and the sort of the agreement between Iran and the 5+1, and the way that the United States is very clearly wants to sort of have an agreement with Iran and doesn't want to continue the conflict.
Great. And, Masoud, on October 23rd, Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki warned that Iraq is facing a war of genocide. I just want to read the quotation from him. He actually said, quote, "It has become clear that Iraq is subjected to a war of genocide targeting all of its components." So, Masoud, this is a very strong statement, isn't it? So I think we've lost Masoud Shajara. So let me, Dr. Hajimine, put that question to you as well. So I was just referring to the statement made by the Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki, and I want to read it again to you. He actually said that Iraq is subjected to a war of genocide targeting all of its components. And it seems to be a very strong statement.
Yeah, it's really obvious, a strong statement to show the depth of really a catastrophic situation inside of Iraq, because Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki condemned the Al-Qaeda and really the remnant of Baas group to target Iraqi people, all Iraqi citizens inside of Iraq, and try, I think, Nouri al-Maliki to show the very dramatic situation inside of Iraq that really is under an organized attack and organized crime, because Nouri al-Maliki, after really coming to power, and we witness the insecurity inside of Iraq from 2003 after the invade by U.S.-led, really, against Iraq. And from that point, we witnessed the insecurity inside of Iraq because the structure of power and really the distribution of power inside of Iraq after 2003 be changed dramatically and really power transferred to the majority of Shia. And because of this, I think change of power inside of Iraq, we witnessed the insecurity and some group and really some, I think, regional regional country try to destabilize the Iraq because of their own benefits.
Great, thank you very much. Now, Basud, before we lost you, we were talking actually about the statement that the Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki made, and I want to read that again to you. He said that Iraq is subjected to a war of genocide targeting all of its components, and it seems that we must be quite worried about the security of Iraq because this seems to be a very strong statement.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's factual because the reality is that within the first 2 years of sort of resistance in Iraq against the Americans was diverted by the Saudis bringing Takfiri ideology into the resistance. And shortly after that, we saw very clearly that the resistance and the insurgency in Iraq changed targets from targeting Americans into targeting fellow Muslims and, you know, on the basis of Shia and Sunni, and then Sunni-Sunni sort of attacks. And these are really a genocidal ideology. And as very clearly now we are saying 1,000 people are becoming victims of this on a monthly basis. And it's really worrying. And in the same time, it's not just within the Iraq. We are seeing the same ideology is being devastatingly affecting Syria. And it could spread into sort of Lebanon and elsewhere. So really what has happened is that this Takfiri ideology, which really comes only from Saudi Arabia and nowhere else, is now being sort of unleashed within the Muslim world.
And it seems that the probably they are also worried about the developments concerning the Iranian foreign relations and the, you know, the talks concerning its nuclear, energy negotiations. So probably those are also they have some concerns about that, and they may be interrelated.
Absolutely, and in same time, it's not just the issue of Saudi Arabia. We see that two elements within the Middle East, the Saudis and the Israelis, are actually working hand in hand. And they're not even embarrassed to say that they have got the same aims and objectives, and they're not embarrassed to actually show that they are coordinating. And to some extent, you could see that the United States is distancing itself from this. But the Saudi-Israeli sort of conversion of same interest is unleashing, and that's why we see that when these attacks happen in Lebanon, one group said that Israel is responsible, another group said that Saudis are responsible. The reality is that they're both responsible.
Okay, thank you very much indeed for that. Now it's time for today's Central Stage online search, but before that, we are going to take a short break. So please do stay with Central Stage. Thank you. Hello again, it's great to have you back with us. Now it's time for today's Central Stage Online Search, where we go on the internet for you to pick for you what's taken Central Stage over the course of the last week. And we're going to have a look at five websites. The first website, as you can see, Dr. Hajimine, is the Press TV website, Iran Embassy Raids, Saud Crisis in Lebanon. That's according to an Iranian MP, and you see the scale of the devastation.
Really means that maybe this crisis ignites sectarian strife between different groups inside of Lebanon.
Right, thanks. Let's go to our next web page. So you can see the Iranian ambassador to Lebanon. You see his sad face, and there you see the pictures of some of those who were actually killed in that attack. So it shows the situation there after the attack, actually.
Actually, it's really have a sadness for Iranian.
Yes, sad picture. Okay, let's go to our next web page. So this is actually the Kika website, and it's about on the same day. Actually, there was a match between Iran and Lebanon football teams. Yeah. Of course, Iran won 4-1, and here we have Daniel Davari, the goalkeeper, who said that everybody was shocked. And of course, that no spectators were allowed to that match. So it was
everybody in every field be shocked. And as I hear about different, country who condemn this really twin blast.
Right. Okay. Let's go to our next web page. So this is also from Euronews, the German version. It's about actually the attack against the Iranian engineers and workers in Iraq. So 15 Iranians actually were shot. So this was actually a very sad development.
It's another sad development, especially against the innocent, engineer worker inside of Iraq.
Right, which actually they had nothing to do with the politics.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to our last web page, which is again Press TV website. Iran urges action on terrorist attack in Iraq. So we know that our officials are trying to find the perpetrators, and the Iraqi government actually has also promised to do their best.
Yeah, especially Iran really try to follow this action in a ask the Iraqi government really to find the real, perpetrator of this blast and this action killing.
Great. Thank you very much indeed for your comments. So actually those were the pages that we thought would interest you. Now let's go to London, where we're joined by Masoud Shajara. We know that, Masoud, that violence in Iraq is at the highest level in at least 5 years. We know that more than 8,000 people have been killed this year, according to the United Nations. And that's a shocking figure, isn't it?
It's absolutely shocking. And it's very clearly sort of shows that there is, the whole situation is getting out of hand and out of control. And when you look at who's targeting, is specifically a group of takfiris targeting overwhelmingly the sort of the Shia community, but also they're targeting the Sunni community who wants to live in harmony and wants to actually develop Iraq into an independent sort of a state. And this is, in some ways, is extremely outrageous. And the fact that this is being only made possible by involvement of the Saudis in encouraging and promoting and supporting this, it really is, in some ways, unbelievable. And up to now, I think Saudi Arabia has got a scot-free because not enough exploration of their role in this whole episode of not just Iraq, but also Iraq, Pakistan, and indeed Syria. When you look that all these takfiri elements are being fed directly from Riyadh and under the sort of hospice of the princes, and then really something dramatically needs to take place. An international community needs to awaken to this, because it's not just this region, which is in danger, but I think the whole world, because these Takfiris, once out of control, we know what they're capable of doing, and I mean, bringing havoc, not just in that region, but elsewhere. And I think the international community needs to recognize what is happening
right.
and start addressing this and put pressure on the Saudi Arabia. Because, I mean, it's extremely dangerous situation. I'm not overemphasizing, especially with the involvement of Israelis
right.
in these sort of activities.
But, you know, Masoud, everybody is blaming al-Qaeda. Maliki also blamed al-Qaeda militant group for killing thousands of people in Iraq. And he said that actually the group is destroying the houses and citizens and killing them and blowing up government departments. But apparently nobody is there. Nobody is actually probably quite able to do anything against them. Nobody is there to stop them.
The reality is that al-Qaeda is sort of... survives with the finances and support of Saudi Arabia, and also through creating this sectarianism. Sectarianism is very attractive to many people on both sides, and actually I think that it's a sort of conflict that once you create it, once you actually finance it, then it becomes live itself, and it actually survives on its own hatred that is created. I mean, you know, we recently started looking at the situation in Pakistan. You see all these schools that are so-called religious schools, which are being financed by Saudis,
right.
which is within it. You know, the students every day need to actually sort of start shouting Shia kafir, you know, Sufi kafir, etc., and promoting that sort of hatred day in, day out.
Okay.
And then every year, 2.5 million of these students are graduating.
Right.
From these schools with no prospect of any job or anywhere to go except being sort of engulfed in this sort of sectarianism and used by outside agencies
okay.
to become sort of suicide bombers and
right.
Feeding that conflict. Same thing is happening elsewhere, and these sort of preachers of hate are actually promoting this, financing this. And I'm afraid that people becoming innocent victims of this, one way or other.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. The last question, Dr. Hajimina, will there be more of those deadly attacks against Iranians and Iranian establishments in the future do you think?
Yeah, there is two ways of really looking at the situation, atomism or holism. Atomism really try to see everything and every incident separately, but holism try to look at the situation as a whole. And when we try at this time of globalization and really of interdependence, I think every situation, especially inside of Middle East, is intervening into each other, and really insecurity try to spill over to other part. And
right.
I think at this situation, as far as such extremist or takfir group exists throughout the region, such dangerous or threats maybe remain.
Okay.
And the best way is to eliminate terrorism in all, I think, forms.
Thank you very much indeed. Masoud, we have just about 20 seconds for this last question. Are you optimistic about the future?
If we are able to expose the elements actually creating this problem and challenge them internationally, yes. Otherwise, I'm afraid we have a lot more bloodshed in the region.
Thank you very much indeed for your comments. Unfortunately, that's all the time we've got for the moment. But before I go, I'd like to thank again my top guests. We had the chair of the Islamic Human Rights Commission in London, Masoud Shajara, and we also had Dr. Ahmad Hajimina, Professor of International Relations and Politics in Tehran. As always, your insights are much appreciated. Thanks for coming on, for talking
Thank
to us,
much.
And of course, for those insights. Until next week, from me, our guests today, and the rest of the team here, it's goodbye for now. Thanks very much indeed for watching. Thank you very
Thank
much.
You
Thank you. It's great to have you.